And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Rural Survival Show with Tim and Maurice Spencer and Rick Kent. Today is Saturday, the 30th day of May, in the year of our Lord, 2020. Ken says we have everybody. Good morning, Maurice and Rick.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
All right, guys, quick wrap-up on the news in case you slept in or didn't catch it last night. Southern Minneapolis has fallen. Apparently this morning, though, the National Guard has taken back some of it. Some of the fires are being put out. We heard the governor of Minnesota yesterday say how they were prepared for everything that was going to happen last night. However, they weren't prepared enough. Now the entire state of Minnesota's National Guard is being activated, something that's never happened in history, according to them. And of course, the violence has spread to multiple cities around the country. And according to the governor of Minnesota, the Pentagon is now getting involved, which could be interesting. A few things I noted before we get to the actual show. One, most of the people doing the violence were not black. It was a mix of all races. The ones, in every case I saw people starting fires, it was white people doing it. It was a huge surprise to me because I had assumed all along it was a black community. Boy, was I wrong on that one, folks. And any of our black listeners, I sincerely apologize for stereotyping. I should have never done that. Anyway, also, what was the other thing? Oh, the people. I listened to a lot of on-camera interviews last night. I made a mistake. I woke up way too early this morning, like 3 a.m. And I listened to a lot of people. These people in many of these inner cities sincerely believe that there's a revolution underway. The problem with that is, if they believe a revolution is underway, this is going to go far. It's already going farther than just arson. I personally heard lots of gunfire last night, and when I was watching live stream out of Minneapolis, the governor of Minnesota said that lots of National Guardsmen were shot at. He said, thankfully, no deaths. He also said his law enforcement agencies were shot at. So this thing's starting to turn a little bit bigger than I think any of us expected. So we're just going to have to wait and see what happens. But, folks, if you live in a major city, keep your head down and your ears pricked up. That's all I can tell you. All right, Lori and Rick, where do we want to go today?
What do you think, Rick?
Go ahead. I think this. I think that any talk about a revolution is just barroom drunk stuff. If we were going to have a revolution, we should have had it over COVID-19 or the intentional shutting down of the system. 40 million unemployed. 25 to 50% of businesses will not reopen. I mean, if you were going to move a population to total revolution, I don't think one murder is the catalyst for that. We've got the deep state stepping all over 250 million people, and then of course there's the rest of the globe, and nothing's happened yet. I remember Ferguson, right. Too. There was, I still have family in Ferguson. It does, however, take me about 45 minutes to get there, and I only go on Christmas anyway. But the Ferguson has not financially recovered. The most Black Lives Matter and George Soros and the rest of these people, the Urban League and all these other goofballs, were able to manage was they changed police chiefs. That was it.
Right.
So revolution, no.
Saying it is one, Rick. I'm saying the people on the ground are saying that's what it is.
No, right. And like I said, that's just some barroom talk. This isn't going to be a revolution. It'll die down just like Ferguson did. Although this does seem to be a different deal. In the case of Michael Brown, and I guess you'll probably never hear this on the news, especially in the mainstream media, Michael Brown was far from an angel. He had a rap sheet that would reach from here to the moon. Well, maybe not quite that far. From here to Ferguson. He's been accused of grabbing a hammer and striking an employee at Home Depot. Other goofy strong-arm robberies. It was a strong-arm robbery he was involved in when the police confronted him. Do you remember the video of him grabbing that small, I guess, Pakistani guy and shaking his teeth loose because he wanted to steal cigars and he didn't want to be stopped. But even that died down. This case to me is different. This was at the least third degree murder, if not second.
What they arrested him for was third degree and manslaughter.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it was an accident. I'm sure he thought he was trying to impress his buddies. Why I don't quite understand why his buddies didn't pull him off there before things got out of hand, but I guess they're not really his buddies. I think, you know, that it will not be a revolution. We should be having a revolution over the destruction of our food chain, and there won't be one of those either. Everybody's just going to sit quietly on their hands and watch
as
the whole
place. As long as there's food, Rick. As long as there is food, I agree with you.
Right. Well, yeah. And then what do they say? At any given point, you're 72 hours from that revolution. I suppose, although I'm not sure I would call that more of a zombie riot than a revolution. But in a revolution, I would think we would go to Washington, D.C. with a guillotine and start pulling people out of Congress. And just like the French Revolution, that's a revolution. Now, that's a revolution. I mean, that's what, we got to learn how to do these things right. You know, if we're going to do it, we got to copy what they did. So anyway, I don't think there'll be a revolution.
Don't either. Not yet.
No. Well, there will be food riots, I suspect. But in any case, Lori, I bet you have a thought on this.
No, not really. I haven't been paying attention to those people who think that they need to riot just because someone was killed. Here's my thought, people. If you're going to go out there and riot, I don't know. I think they're doing it for the wrong reasons. You're going out there and you're tearing up your community and you're burning the businesses. And keep in mind, these businesses don't get paid by their insurance companies when people riot and burn their businesses down. So they've lost everything thanks to y'all. My question is why? You're just destroying your community. You're not building it up. You're tearing it down. So if you're trying to make a point about what was done wrong, wait a minute. Stop and think, because you people that are rioting are doing wrong. You're hurting someone else, and you're mad because, okay, in this case, again, the cops killed a man, which they should not have done. I agree on that one. But rioting and tearing up your community and burning it to the ground is not making your community or anyone else feel better.
Oh, I agree with you, Lori, but one thing I'd like to interject is that the local residents, at least there in Minneapolis, are saying the people that are doing the arson and throwing the improvised explosive devices at the National Guard and shooting at the National Guard and the cops are not from their community. They say they're from out of state.
Well, we have the exact same thing here.
Right.
Okay. You know, they burned Sally's Cakes was a famous place in Ferguson. Everybody liked to go there. This gal, black gal, built this business up from the ground. They burnt it once. They burnt it twice. And somewhere in my head, I believe they might have burned it a third time. Why they want to pick on poor Sally, I do not know. But I don't think that it's the black people in Ferguson doing it. I think it's Black Lives Matter and George Soros, I think, is doing that.
And also last night, I heard mentioned the Workers' Party of America and Antifa.
Okay, but I didn't say any certain race did certain things. I'm just saying, why are you going out there and rioting, trying to make a point about what happened, when all you're doing is not making that point? You're turning it into something that wasn't even there. You're using man's death to turn around and riot and burn your community to the ground. Have you people that even know this man stopped to think, is this what he would have done? Is this what he would have wanted you to do, was to burn the community to the ground because of something like this? I mean, come on, people.
Laurie, I think you're thinking of this incorrectly. I don't think that what the people who are doing this are in charge of creating anger and chaos.
They're paid to do it.
They're paid, yeah. This comes from the globalists, the New World Order types. They don't care about the people. They don't care about George. They don't care about the black community. They don't care about anything except creating violence, and they're doing that. Although, you know, they had a terrible time keeping it going in Ferguson. I mean, after a while, you know, everybody just said, man, I'm going home. I'm going to get a beer. This sucks. You know, and they just couldn't keep them out there.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Rick. That is exactly what happened. I remember it well. My friend Sam Andrews was up there, and so was John Moore to some extent. And yes, that's exactly what happened.
Well, John got as far as Kirkwood, but which is probably at 20, 30 minutes away. And they never did get that far. They did try to go out and start some crap at a few malls out in the fringes where mostly white people live, and it didn't really fly. They didn't get any participants. But perhaps we've given enough attention to the deep state here, and we should talk about something useful.
Well, I did want to say one other thing in case people didn't know it, which is rather sad. And that is, two federal officers were shot last night, and one of them was killed. They were Federal Protection Service officers guarding a federal building, and that happened in Oakland. So now, what do we want to talk about?
Well, the supply chain problem, I want to just go briefly. I'll tell you what I want to talk about today. What I want to talk about... or as they would say in My Fair Lady, I'm wanting to tell you, is about coffee and sourdough bread. That's what I want to talk about. But before we go there, I want to mention that I believe this is, this stoppage in the system, however brief you think it might have been, and it's not really over yet. You see, the blue state Democrats want to keep going. I believe this whole thing is putting embolism into the American economy bloodstream, and I think that at some point this summer, that thing is going to show up as a heart attack, and.
Right.
I don't know this to be the fact, but all the data that I watch, we have 40 million unemployed. Our GDP is scheduled to be off now. They keep revising it downward, of course. They don't want to tell the truth. why would you do that? You just panic everybody, and they might actually prepare. And then when the actual event gets here, you might not get to kill 200 million people. You might only kill 50. So they can't have that. But now the GDP, their reckoning would be down somewhere between 37 and 50%. Now,
yeah, I read that.
That's not just an embolism. That's cutting your head off. That's, you know. So anyway, I believe at some point later this warm season, I would think before school starts, certainly, I think all hell will break loose. So that was about all I wanted to suggest.
They're saying on Zero Hedge, Rick, they're all saying end of July, first part of August.
Oh. Well, you know what they say. You take all the economists in the world and put them end to end, and they point different directions still. But I do tend to agree with them. So in that particular case, they're probably right. So before I get into coffee, it was a fascinating subject, and sourdough bread still more interesting. I watched an in-depth study on the cost of meat chickens because I keep wondering. You know, we see these people pop forward, speaking of food shortages, of course, and that's why I'm doing this. Oh, I thought I heard a tune.
Not yet, buddy.
Hello?
Two more minutes.
Oh, all right. Sorry.
Two more minutes.
Okay. Do not play with the piano while I'm doing this. So meat chickens, believe it or not, people do these comparisons between meat rabbits and meat chickens. And meat chickens, from start to finish, even if you're doing it in a relatively large batch, like 50 birds, still costs $7.65 to get all the way to the end, and that has nothing to do with your time invested. So everybody knows if you've got any kind of animals around, they take your time. I mean, they eat up your time, and you know, you got 10 meat chickens, you got 5 meat chickens, you got 20 meat chickens. You're going to have to feed them and water them whether you want to or not. You're going to be doing it, and so aside from the $7.65, you've got hours and hours invested. I don't know what you think an hour's worth of your time might be, but up here in the city, it can get costly. I just had my septic line cleared out, which took the guy about a half an hour, and it was still $355. Just saying.
Oh, yeah.
It can get hot. So and they're $1.19 a pound at the store. The only upside that this gal could come up with, which by the way I like her deal, it's from Sprague River, is that she knows what's in the chicken. You know, so she's not
right.
She's not using any weird stuff. Something else nobody ever thinks about when they're doing beans and rice bucketing them up for long term is that pasta is only about $1 a pound, and the process they put it through, it is pretty well dried out. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because right now my garlics, my hardneck, my Alton garlics, which are a hardneck type thing, they're scaping. That means they're flowering. Cut those things off. As I told you last year, they look like swan heads with necks. You cut those off and
all
you
right.
Can
we
make all kinds
great,
of work. Yeah, go ahead. We'll do garlic and oil in a minute.
All right. Back in 3 minutes, folks.
Where the trees have leaves of prisms and break the light in colors that no one knows the names of. And when it's time, I'll go and wait beside a legendary fountain till I see your form reflected in its clear and jeweled waters. And if you think I'm ready, you may lead me to the chasm where the rivers of our vision flow into one another.
I As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down, when you're strange. Faces come out of the rain when you're strange. No one remembers your name when you're strange. When you're strange, when you're strange.
And we're back. Rick, you were talking about your garlic and oil.
Yeah, I was. The flowers, the green flowers, the scapes.
Yep.
When you grab them and you bend them, they break like asparagus will, fresh asparagus. They're very crisp like that, but they're very, very fresh when you cook them. So, if you're growing garlic and you've got hard necks, and I would probably recommend you grow soft neck and hard neck. If you see garlic braided, that's a soft neck, because the hard necks, their neck is like a little bamboo rod. You're not going to braid that. But if you've got the hard necks, they will put off the scapes, and you can put those things in, take pasta and use your olive oil and mix in some very finely chopped garlic scapes with some parsley and some crushed red pepper, and put it over the pasta, and it is lovely. Fortunately, since we're social distancing, that's probably a real good thing. I don't know, 6 feet is enough, for garlic pasta. Yeah, that might get you 8 feet. That might back people up another wonderful step. But as far as cuisine goes, it's the old adage, farmers eat like kings. And obviously, the reason for that is that the king basically has to wait for the farmer to finish eating, and then they deliver the food to the king. So, yeah, the farmer eats first, then the king. So, that's there. But the point of this all is that, first of all, my garlics are scaping. I pulled about, I should give an update. The elephant garlic I planted, last Halloween, is almost finished now. The bottom leaves are starting to turn yellow. I pulled about six or eight of them, and I've got some anywhere from tennis ball to baseball size, so I'm doing pretty well. I'm going to let a bunch of them go a little further and see what happens. But I just want to mention that if you're not thinking about storage of pasta, it's certainly inexpensive and viable. The one thing I do have a bucket or two of egg noodles, but I will say this: as you can only imagine, egg noodles take up a lot of space in a bucket. You know, and what you're not supposed to do is put your foot on them and push them down in there. So, that's kind of. The regular old vermicelli type pasta, or if you're gluten intolerant, the corn based pasta, which frankly I can't in flavor, I can't tell the difference. That stuff stacks so flat that you can get all kinds of pasta in a 5 gallon bucket that way. Speaking of gluten intolerant, let me shift gears just a little bit. I want to talk about sourdough because I found out some amazing things that I just did not know. When I first started looking into sourdough, I was doing it because of the, I don't know, probably most people don't know this, but there is essentially a yeast shortage. I think we mentioned it a few months back. And there's yeast gouging, of course. You know, people went out and bought them, which yeast was, always in limited supply. Not that many people. I think it was in 1890, 90% of people baked in the home. By 1910, only 10% did. It completely flipped. And so, as far as having aisles of yeast somewhere, it's not going to happen because they're not going to stock something that nobody wants. So it was in short supply anyway, and when this whole thing started, this COVID problem, certain numbers of people ran out and bought up all the yeast and then, tried to make a quick buck on the internet, but sourdough does not use that yeast. It doesn't use regular bread yeast. What it uses is a combination of airborne wild yeast and a lactobacillus, which turns out to be, among other things, it's a desirable thing in the fermentation of wine because in the case of like a Chardonnay, it gives you that creamy, buttery aspect to the Chardonnay instead of that sharp Welch's grape juice type deal. And all of the wineries that I visited in the Napa Valley, all they want to talk about is the lactic acid. There's a chemical conversion, and we've talked about that on the air before. But the lactobacillus...
Okay, buddy, we got a break.
...is a probiotic. And we'll get back.
We got a break, Rick. Ladies and gentlemen, right. We'll be back at 3 minutes. 1-800-313-9443. We got two callers waiting.
Girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendovite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendovite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
The bridge of sights, to rest my eyes in shades of green, under dreaming spots, to Ichiku Park, that's where I've been.
What did you do there?
I got high.
What did you feel there?
Well, I cried.
But why the tears there?
Tell you why, it's all too beautiful.
And we're back. Welcome back. Okay. Rick, we do have one caller on the line. We had one drop. Do you want to take that call or do you want to finish what you were saying first?
Yeah. By the way, nice work, Ken. A lovely work. Well. Yeah, we're gonna have to take this quite a bit further. The yeast that you're using to make sourdough bread is not the type of thing that they're using, that you would even buy at the store, and is basically free. But we will get into that because there is some interesting science involved, and it involves people who are gluten intolerant. So,
okay,
let's go.
Do we want to go to our caller?
Yeah, let's do that.
Good morning, Tom. You're on the air, sir.
Good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. Yes,
thank you.
Today we got two guys. Hopefully, can escape from this earth for a couple of weeks and get away from this insanity. And I want to talk about food.
Put it on my team.
Yeah, we're gonna have a blast off today, hopefully. But here's what I want to talk about, and I'll get to the food in a second. I want to talk about. You were talking earlier in the first few minutes of your show about all. 40 million people unemployed. Well, we got 38 million illegals in our country. You got 8 million in California. Okay, you got all these millions in here, and the sewage is all leaking into the Pacific Ocean by the tons every hour. We found out now, it just came over the news, that this guy, Derek Chauvin's wife, she's from Laos, She is a Democrat. She is a registered Democrat. She was Miss Minnesota in 2018, okay? She is okay. a Democrat, ladies and gentlemen. Chauvin's wife. So I don't know what Chauvin is, or Derek Chauvin, but this thing is starting to look like an op to me. It looks like an op to me. And you have the mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, calling the president of the United States the F word, just like Debbie Blabbermouth Schultz did near one of these Trump rallies with all these young kids. It's disgusting what these Democrats are getting away with. They're trying to start a race war. There'll be no race war, like Richard said. We know who has the guns, and we know there's not going to be no race war. And if they try it, hey, remember this. He who has the gun, well, I should put it this way. With the gun, you're a citizen. Without the gun, you're a subject. John Adams. Okay. Now, I want to get back to the food situation. You made a great point there, Richard. I believe in another post there. And before I get off of this race rioting that's going on, and it was a shame that a police officer got shot last night and died. That's just I say the media's complacent, and that family should sue CNN, MSLSD, and all these other liberal networks that are trying to start a revolution in this country. But now I'm going to talk about this. You remember, you gentlemen, remember, lady, nice man there. You remember 3 years ago when we had this thing going on with Kim Jong Un, in North Korea.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Nobody's talking about this. It's all been quieted down because Trump did go over there and try to extend an olive branch to this guy, I guess. But let's look at this picture scenario. This is the horrific scenario of all. Kim Jong-un or whoever, China, whoever, if they shoot one EMP over, let's say Minnesota, let's say Wisconsin, one EMP, ladies and gentlemen, you think this riot here is bad? There'll be no food to eat throughout the whole world, let alone America, the United States.
You're right.
And it only takes one EMP to knock out the grid. What's that?
I said, you're absolutely right. You put one directly over Kansas, it's going to take out three-quarters of the state, or of the United States.
Well, sir, not only that, it will take out the rest of the world as far as food production. And all these are...
Absolutely.
You know what? I find this really ironic. What's going on in Minneapolis, Barry Sortero Hussein Obama brought over 140,000 Somalians from Somalia. That are dark. You remember the Minnesota is basically a Scandinavian country inside the United States. It was mainly white, Norwegians, Swedes, Finns. But now all of a sudden, you got Barry Sortero turned that state black with Somalians. It's like they're trying to do in Portland, Maine. I have three great friends who live in Maine, and they told me Maine is nothing like it used to be. Portland, okay? They changed that place in 20 years into Africa. Now, this is all by design by the swine that are trying to start this race war. Now, let's get to the real picture here. You got Somalians, you got this Imar Omar, can't stand this country. Yes, she was living in a refugee camp. She's talking crap about Trump, how he should be in prison and all that. You got a woman who lived in a concentration camp as a congresswoman now, stirring up crap, okay, against this country, this great country of ours. I hate to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the majority of this country is white, and the majority is supposed to rule. The rule, he who has the gold makes the rules. It ain't Jews, and it ain't blacks, and it ain't Hispanics yet. It's white Anglo-Christian males and females. They're still in the majority. I don't know how much longer, but if we don't get our act together, we won't be in the majority, we will be in the minority, and we'll be put in chains, whatever they want to call us, whatever they're trying to do right now. It's got to stop and desist immediately. Immediately, this is going to stop this crap. And it's going to stop.
I'm curious about something, sir. Where in your listing of races do you put Native Americans?
What about Native Americans?
You're listing all these other races besides white. I was wondering what your opinion is of Native Americans.
I have a lot of great Native Americans, sir. I have a lot of I can tell you, I know Seminole Indians. I grew up with Seminole Indians, Miccosukee Indians. I know Sioux Indians from the Dakotas. So I know a lot of Indians. They're great people. When they become your friend, they're your friends for life. They're wonderful. American Indians are fantastic. I have no qualm with no American Indian.
I was just curious.
I was just curious because Corey and I are half-breed culture.
American Indians were wonderful people. Okay? Now, were they treated unfairly? Absolutely. There was a lot of harm done to them over 200 years ago. But, you know, like I told other hosts, you know, that's just part of the destiny of the United States. That's just the way it is.
Tom, I actually agree with you. I have no ill feelings, neither does Corey, over what happened 200, 300, 400 years ago. That was then. That happened to my ancestors, not to me. All I want to do is be a good American.
Correct. That is absolutely correct. And, you know, like I say, what's going on right now with the media, trying to, they already got one man killed doing his job. Now you got looting going on. You had this one black fireman worked all his life to get a bar going there in Minneapolis. He has no insurance. His business is destroyed, burned up. I mean, this has happened on. Look, I remember when I was a young kid in 1968, what happened in Detroit, Michigan. Detroit, Michigan. My father's from Detroit. It was the richest city in the United States back in 1958.
One final point. I'm going to have to let you go, buddy. But just so you know, no insurance covers riot, civil unrest, or acts of war. Just so you know that. None of those shopkeepers up there can possibly have insurance against what happened because it doesn't exist.
Well, you're absolutely correct. And, you know, I'll let you go, but I got one more thing to say. I live in South Florida. We had a riot here in 1980. We had a riot here in 1980. It was horrific, okay? And I'm going to let you guys know. That during the first day of that riot in 1980, there was 8 Anglo men who were beat to death who were walking the streets because they're in a mixed neighborhood. And when the riots broke out, and you can archive it with the Miami Herald or the Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel, there was 8 white American men, and I know one, a great friend of mine whose uncle was beat to death on a Miami Herald paper rack. You can archive it on the computer if you like. 8 men, the first day of the McDuffie riot, 8 white men were beat to death, and they were innocent. Nobody says nothing about that. Nobody talks about all the crime that's happening in Chicago last week with Memorial Day weekend with that Lori Lightfoot. 146 kids were hit by stray bullets, black Afro-American kids under the age of 12. Nobody talks about that, but one guy whose wife's a Democrat, we don't know what this guy is, lives in a blue state, he does what he did, and the whole country's in flames. It's crazy. But what about Jaden Hayden beating a white 75-year-old man up in a nursing home? Did white people go out and riot for that? One more thing. Did white people go riot when the girl was kidnapped out of the bar in Alabama and they found her body 6 weeks later? You remember that case, ladies and gentlemen?
Oh, yeah.
The white girl that went out, she thought she was going to smoke a marijuana joint, and they take her out in the car and they rape the hell out of her, and then they murdered her and they found her in the guy's backyard? Was there rioting? Did the people in Alabama, the whites, go rioting over that?
No, but maybe they should have.
The media didn't say nothing about that.
Thank you for your call, sir. Greatly appreciated. Call back again next week. Ladies and gentlemen, call the number is 1-800-313-9443. Okay, Lori and Rick, where do we want to go next, guys?
Well, we were going to do Florida.
Yes, we were.
But I will say this. I think we let Tom go beyond 5 minutes, but...
We did, Michael.
Okay. That's session one for today. But, you know, he makes a point, but at the same time, you know, on a practical note, at some point on this show, we said something along the lines of, you know, if you don't like it, go vote. Lately, I'm of the opinion that won't matter. I'm beginning to think that there is actually...
I'm losing you, Rick, at least on my end. I've got a poor connection. Disregard. Ken, if you got a hold of him still, tell him to call back. And that way we might get a good connection. Okay. Thank you, Ken. All right, folks. We lost Rick temporarily. He's going to call back in just a minute, and we'll get him back on. Rick's been having cell phone problems all day, folks. I think something's broken his cell tower, the one he picks up. Anyway, you know, Lori, our garlic ought to be about ready to start looking at that we got growing out there in the round thing, in the built-up rock round thing. Have you looked at it recently?
Yes, I have.
How's it looking? Is it flowering yet?
Like garlic. No, it's not flowering yet.
Oh, okay. I was just curious. I didn't know if it might do it early or not with all this rain we've had. But it has been fairly cool. All right, folks, call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. Francis, if you're still listening to us, give us a call. We love to hear from you. Okay, Lori, where do you want to go next?
Well, at the moment, I was listening to Rick, and I didn't realize he was going to do sourdough, so I am trying to find a really good recipe for our listeners who go to our Facebook page, and I will put a good recipe up there for sourdough for those of you that don't know how to make it. So that's what I was doing while Rick was talking, so. But, let's see.
I understand. All right. We've got Ken in New York on line one, Lori, so you can go ahead
and look at that.
And Ken and I can talk. Good morning, Ken.
Hi, guys and girls. I have a question about, Rick brought up wine before.
Right.
What is the effect of, I notice most American wines use sulfides in them. I think it's some kind of preservative or something. What is the effect of that on your health?
Well, normally it's an allergic reaction. Some people are deathly allergic to it, and it'll stop their breathing on the spot. So you'll see on one of our wine bottles on the back, it says, warning, contains sulfites. Sulfites is a preservative, and you can add it. If you make wine, you can add it if you would like, or you can skip it. Your wine won't hold up as long, obviously. But then again, fruit wine, like apple wine, peach wine, pear wine, elderberry wine, Those things don't have a high enough acid content anyway to hold up for any length of time. They do not have the, what's that stuff you can add? It's grape tannin. They do not have the tannins, which is an acid, to make them hold up for 10 years. So they're only going to hold for about 2 years anyway. So if you're going to make your own wine, there's absolutely no reason to put sulfite in it.
I see. Okay, so it has to do with the lack of acid that naturally occurs in the wine, or is it the other way around?
Grapes have it. No, grapes come with tannic acid.
Grapes?
I believe it's
okay.
It's in the skin, and you'll see, and then maybe limited to the red wines because no wine collector stores Chardonnay. The wines that they're going to collect are going to be red wines that have the ability to store for extended periods of time, and that's because of the tannic acid in there. So regular fruit wine, you know, it's not, nobody would try to store apple wine. You know, it's just not done.
So some people that have allergic reactions to red wine, or it is said may not be the red wine itself. It may actually be the sulfides.
It's very possible. And then again, there are some people whose nose will get like these red spider webs on. It's called rosacea. And red wine does cause some people rosacea, in which case, at that point, now they're Chardonnay drinkers. But that is not the sulfite reaction. Sulfite will actually kind of, if you're allergic, it'll close your airway off, much like asthma.
Oh, very interesting.
Oh, wow.
Or peanuts, you know, if you're allergic, something like that.
Hmm. All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah, no,
very interesting.
Sir.
Yep. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So I'm back, at least for the moment,
Ann. Get back.
Yeah, well, at least for the moment. So with regard to the sourdough, it's a wonderful idea. There is a really fascinating video out there, I think, called Making Healthier Sourdough by a bakery called Proof, P-R-O-O-F. But here's the skinny, and let me get this out here before I get cut off again. When people who are gluten intolerant react to gluten, and gluten actually blocks the absorption of magnesium, zinc, and vitamin D, and it has in it something called anti-nutrients. The anti-nutrients are actually what is responsible for most of your gluten intolerance and the blocking of important vitamins, minerals, and also the cause of inflammation. So if you're one of those people that you eat bread like me, and 30 minutes later, your nose stuffs up, that's the reason. Sourdough bread, this is interesting. Normally bread is not proof for any length of time at all. If you're using a sourdough starter, you're going to proof your bread at least overnight. At 8 hours, the anti-nutrients are neutralized. And what happens there at that point is the bread actually becomes more or less food. You get all the vitamins, the minerals, the good fats, and the other nutrients that should be available in bread without all of the unfortunate side effects. So the sourdough is actually a fermented, well, so is yeast, I guess. But there are, I started looking around trying to figure out how I was going to, I wanted to make sourdough starter, but I didn't necessarily want to go to the trouble that the other people were, but it doesn't look like it's any big deal. It takes about a week to get it going. To that extent, I would say this, and this shocks me too. Yeast is happiest at a pH of around 3.5, which to me is ridiculous. I would have thought that's way too much acid for yeast, but it isn't. I saw a study where people made a sourdough starter from scratch, trying to use all-purpose flour and then just the healthy whole wheat flour that you can get, which is not bleached. It's stone ground and all that kind of thing. So they used pineapple juice for two of them, one whole wheat and one all-purpose white, and then water for the whole wheat and the all-purpose white. And the effect there is that even though they thought the pineapple juice would aid in the, would speed up the reaction of the sourdough as it captured the wild yeast out of the air and what have you, it didn't necessarily. Although, as it turns out, the whole wheat flour, the natural whole wheat flour, was much more receptive to becoming a sourdough starter than was the processed bleached flour. So, you know, if you want to try that sort of thing, you're probably better off going to some healthy joint, some market, and buying some flour that, you know, that has not been run through the bleach and all that kind of thing. So at that point, you probably need to watch some videos because we won't have time to go into it all. But what happens there at that point is that the sourdough starter, you use some of it. Let's say you use two-thirds to make some bread, and then you're going to refeed that with equal amounts of water and flour, and you'll see it rise up when you feed it. You'll see it rise up within an hour or two, and then it'll settle back down, and it'll do this every time you feed it. So you don't want to, you not want to seal your jar, or you're going to have sourdough stuff everywhere and probably broken glass too. So, you know, yeah, a lot of people will just take a piece of cheesecloth or a coffee filter and rubber band it over the top, and that lets that gas go up and down. Anyway, that's your starter. You don't have to worry about the yeast shortage or the yeast gouging. And you're going to wind up with much healthier bread in the end, which you know, I have to say, I'm kind of interested to try it because being gluten intolerant, of course, I love what I can't have, right? I want what I can't have, and I want it now.
Right.
So, yeah. So I'm going to be very interested to try this. I'll go ahead and make myself a starter. And so to that end, by the way, when I saw that it was a combination of wild yeast and lactobacillus, I started looking around on Amazon for the lactobacillus, found out it's a probiotic, and you can buy it in that form. And then I got to thinking about it, and I thought, well, wait a minute. So I'm going to try to make my own instant sourdough starter, but it probably already exists. Well, it does, and it showed up yesterday. It's a little package, and it will be a combination of wild yeast and the lactobacillus and those two. So, you know, of course, I do have to get myself some unbleached healthy type flour to do this.
Right.
But I'm going to be interested to see if I do better physically with my own sourdough bread than I do with, and if I get good at it, who knows? You know, on these Sunday visits that we do with our kids, you know, handing out sourdough bread to a bunch of millennials is probably a winner-winner. The only other thing you could do for them probably is give them fresh roasted coffee, which would be probably my next subject if nobody has any objection.
Well, right after the break, we'll do that, Rick. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 3 minutes. 1-800-313-9443.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.